Hey, folks, you're listening to a free podcast of The Ezra Levin Show. But let me tell you something. You're missing out if you're not a premium content subscriber. For just $8 a month, you can get the whole enchilada. That's the audio and the video. So you can see all the whiz-bang visuals and videos that go along with a typical monologue. Please go to rebelnewsplus.com. That's rebelnewsplus.com. And please help support Rebel News. Tonight, last Friday was International Women's Day. And we had the choice here at Rebel News to cover the far-left progressive woke lunatics that take part in the International Women's Day March in Toronto, or go to a conference with real women sporting common sense solutions to actual problems affecting women today. Can you imagine where we chose to go? It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm David Menzies, and this is The Ezra Levin Show.
Shame on you, you censorious thug.
Full disclosure, I'm really not a big fan of International Women's Day. Oh, don't get me wrong, I adore women both domestically and those abroad, no pun intended. Hey, as the clown prince of crime would say,
what would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No, 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 you complete me.
Indeed, but you know who doesn't adore women today? That would be modern-day feminists. That would be those radicals who subscribe to the rubbish that trans women are real women. That's not a pledge of diversity, equity, and inclusion, by the way. Rather, inexplicably, it is a mission statement in support of misogyny. If you are a real woman who supports fake pretend women invading female sports and female shelters and female prisons, then you are either consumed with self-hatred or you've been hopelessly indoctrinated. And folks, it is leftist, progressive, woke women and their idiotic, indoctrinated allies who have basically co-opted International Women's Day. They don't represent the vast majority of women, but rather a sliver of the female lunatic fringe. Check out this video encounter from some 5 years ago when me and my camera woman covered the International Women's Day march in downtown Toronto.
Shut it down!
What's with the fingers? That's not very ladylike. Why would you do that, man?
Can you believe that? That in our young century, the term lady is triggering and offensive? Maybe I should have called them sluts. After all, certain jurisdictions, including Toronto, stage slut walks. It's supposed to be empowering or something. By the way, here's the dictionary definition of the word slut. Quote, slut is an English language term for a person, usually a woman, who is sexually promiscuous or considered to have loose sexual morals. It is predominantly used as an insult, sexual slur, or offensive term of disparagement. Slut is interchangeable with strumpet, trollop, harlot, and woman of ill repute. End quote. Nice. And supposedly calling a modern-day feminist a slut is apparently less triggering than calling her a lady? Welcome to Bizarro Superman world, folks, where I am increasingly clamoring for that extinction event asteroid to drop by. But just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, we live in a day and age in which a female U.S. Supreme Court judge was unable to define the word woman. Check it out.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Is any woman, regardless of political affiliation, unable really to define the word woman? Yet here we are. Imagine having that woke nitwit being your judge. And consider when cameraman Efren Monsanto and I first visited Fergus, Ontario last summer to report on that gender-bending grifter, Tommy Ash Davis. He's the male rugby player who pretends to be a woman and in the process routinely injures real biological women. But he's not the problem. We were the problem due to reporting on this egregious state of affairs. Indeed, check out this indoctrinated gal genius and her brilliant brother when it came to that oh-so-complicated thing known as the definition of a woman.
Yeah, 34,
21. Mr. Davis, Ash, why are you doing this? I'm David Menzies, Rebel News.
Hi. No, you're not really a part of this.
Human rights.
What about the human rights of biological women being injured by this man? As a mother, why would you expose your kids to a misogynist?
That is my partner. That is my wife that you are being.
So he's a lesbian?
It's not a sport. Or it's not an issue.
I'm a registered social worker, sir, and I demand human rights for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's a biological female?
How do you feel about a biological male playing in rugby, man?
Thank you!
I don't really give a f***.
Everybody!
Really? Okay. I don't know what is a crime anymore.
Well, sometimes we all ask ourselves that, right?
I don't care, I'm impartial.
Okay then, so why is this being allowed? Because World Rugby, the governing body, says this is against the rules. You can't have biological males playing against biological females.
Yeah, I don't know, I guess. What's a biological female?
Well, I would imagine if you're born with female genitalia versus male genitalia.
Where did you get your PhD?
Pardon me?
You're defining a biological female. Where did you get your PhD?
So I'm defining a, but ma'am, in the history of sports, all sports, with the exception of equestrian or auto race.
I'm there for history. I'm only 19 years old. I cannot say what happened 20 years ago because I wasn't.
No, but in the here and now, you see male tennis, female tennis, right?
I don't see any tennis. I don't watch tennis.
Oh, okay then. So it doesn't exist then?
To me, you can't ask me a question about it because I have no idea. Just the same as you can't talk about what a female is if you're not a doctor.
I can't? What is a female then? Do you have a definition?
No, I'm not a doctor.
You know, this is really bad, folks, for an audiovisual presentation because I'm actually speechless right now reviewing that clip. I apologize. You see, extreme idiocy is my kryptonite, alas. But changing gears, Efren and I avoided the woke International Women's Day march in Toronto last Friday. Instead, we covered an event called an International Women's Day celebration, subtitled Join Us for Real Talk from Today's Leading Activists and Commentators on Women's Rights and Protections. That's right, straight talk from real women. And this expression of sanity and common sense was equal parts refreshing, entertaining, and educational. Now, prior to the formal speeches, Rebel News was able to secure exclusive interviews with most of the speakers. This included Amy Hamm, who is a writer, healthcare professional, mother, and advocate for free speech and women's rights. Hamm, by the way, is under attack by the British Columbia College of Nurses and Midwives for wrong thought. Namely, Hamm calls gender identity metaphysical nonsense, which it is, but for speaking the truth, Hamm is apparently a transphobe who must be canceled and economically penalized. Brutal.
And you might be familiar with Miss Hamm's story, and it's a hell of a story, but for those who aren't, Amy, you got into a bit of hot water regarding the trans community and their allies. What exactly set off that chain of events?
The big one was years ago now, sponsoring an I Heart JK Rowling billboard after the writer came out in support of women's sex-based rights. So that led to an onslaught of public complaints to my regulator to attempt to have me fired from my nursing job. And it's been more than 3 years. Many more complaints have come in, and I'm still fighting to keep my job, essentially.
So let me get this straight. Your job is under fire as a healthcare professional, not because of any incompetence or malpractice, but because you committed the heinous crime of wrongthink.
Yes, I've never had a patient complaint. I've never had an issue in my workplace with performance. And the college that's persecuting me laid out in their opening arguments that this is 100% nothing to do with my workplace conduct. It's entirely the out-of-work conduct and the things that I say and do and write while I'm in my own private time.
And this battle with your employer, it's still ongoing. I know you can't get into all the details, but it's a little terrifying, Amy, that just because you were part of the billboard campaign, I love J.K. Rowling, and of course that billboard was vandalized in day one and taken down, that this could put you in an economic penalty box, if you will. Why is it we see this increasingly in society that everyone seems to be bending the knee to radical transgenderism? I would argue, and I know I'm going to offend some people, that once upon a time, maybe even 10 years ago, these people would probably be in a mental health institution. Instead, it's literally the tail wagging the dog. What is your take on this issue?
That's a very big question, of course, but I think that there is a small number of tyrannical woke persons that have managed to get a chokehold on every institution, every political party. And it's this, most of us don't agree with these people and with the delusional belief system that they hold. But through a campaign of fear and intimidation and trying to cancel people, get them fired, they've managed to essentially run our culture and our government. And so that's why we're fighting. And I'm here today wanting to talk about free speech, because as much as I have been an advocate for women's rights, I've also become an advocate for free speech, because I've recognized if you can't speak and a lot of people don't want me to have the ability to speak at all. Sorry, I don't know if you can cut that out. Okay, yeah. So becoming an advocate for women's rights, I quickly learned that I also need to be an advocate for free speech. Because when your speech is under threat and you're censored and you're told that you could lose your livelihood, you lose your reputation. When the CBC smears you across the country as a hateful bigot, you're not going, and nobody else is going to want to speak out if they see what happens to you. So I care deeply about free speech. And then, of course, the recent bill that was tabled by the Liberal government, C-63, is hugely concerning for all Canadians, and especially for someone like myself, who's already going through the ringer over a free speech issue.
And indeed, it was just a little over a week ago that was tabled in the House of Commons, Bill C-63. I can't imagine, Amy, that being passed into law as is. It is the most censorious legislation I have ever seen enacted, not in Canada's history, but in any Western democracy. For those who don't know about Bill C-63, and we've been all over it, certainly, the idea that somebody anonymously can make a complaint about you, that this law will be retroactive, so they can go back 10, 15 years, find something you said on social media and file some kind of hate complaint. Lord knows what the benchmark for hate is. And if you find out who that person's identity is, you're not allowed to out him or her. You'll face another penalty. And finally, the idea that the state can put you under house arrest for something that you might say in the future that is hateful. I mean, my God, Amy, this is 1984 meets Minority Report.
It's horrifying. Like you mentioned, if a judge deems that a complainant has a reasonable ground for being afraid or for fearing that someone else might say something that could be hateful, and hateful being a term that is very subjective, and it will be defined by the ruling Liberal Party. You can be in trouble. You can be penalized. They've even said that persons can get a life sentence for hate, posting hate online, wherein hate is defined in such a vague manner that, you know, it's obviously meant to threaten political dissidents and to chill their speech and possibly to imprison them.
And you know, there's all this concern about so-called hate speech online. And as you said, we don't have the a proper definition of hate. It's very nebulous. And yet right now, since October 7th of last year, we see pure hatred on the streets. We see pro-Hamas demonstrators making genocidal chants. And Amy, I'm pretty much a free speech absolutist, but my saying has always been the free speech line in the sand is if you advocate harm or death to an individual or an identifiable group of individuals, that's offside. And yet we're seeing this virtually every weekend in so many Canadian and other Western cities. What do you make of the fact that the Trudeau Liberals are so gung-ho about this online hate? And here's Hate Classic happening on the streets of Canada, and they shrug.
Yeah, it's a case in point of why this legislation is so dangerous. It is a tool to be used by the state to punish and silence and destroy the lives of political dissidents who they happen to disagree with and who happen to disagree with the prevailing orthodoxy, which right now in Canada is a very out of touch with reality and dangerous orthodoxy, as I'm sure you know.
Well, I'm so happy you're covering this. You know, we did Streeters at Young Dundas, and it's sad, you know, how few Canadians are engaged about legislation that is literally going to affect their lives. And I mean, if we talk about Bill C-63, they'll say what? If we ask them about Kim Kardashian's new bikini, man, they'll talk till the cows come home. But, you know, we did a little trick, and it was, hey, did you hear about Vladimir Putin's new hate speech law? And then we talked about all the penalties and stipulations that we just discussed about Bill C-63. And the typical answer is, well, thank goodness I live in Canada, a free democracy. And I go, sir, I was tricking you. This is a Justin Trudeau Liberal initiative. And it was a real shocker for the vast majority of people. You're concentrating on Bill C-63 in your writing. Amy, whether it's your healthcare career that is at stake right now or what you're hoping to write about in the near future, last word goes to you, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. Where to start? You know, the positive thing, I haven't lost hope entirely in Canada, and I also am reminded that in 2013, our former Prime Minister Stephen Harper, Conservative, he actually axed very similar legislation about hate speech because he felt that it was so vague that it was intended to censor political speech. And it's looking as though Pierre Poilievre will be our next Prime Minister. And I'm hopeful that he will do the same thing.
Well, Amy, you are a very brave woman. Can I call you a woman on International Women's Day? Is that okay?
Please do, yes.
Okay, then. Good luck. All the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Activist Heather Mason played a key role in organizing the event. Mason is a former federal prisoner, and for the past 5 years, she has been advocating for criminalized women on a variety of prison issues, including segregation, strip searching, and the issue of prisoners transferring from male prisons to women's prisons. Her advocacy on this latter issue connected her to a group of women who formed a grassroots organization focused on maintaining women's rights to single-sex spaces called Canadian Women's Sex-Based Rights, aka COSBAR.
Well, I'm with Heather Mason, and you know, folks, Heather used to be a convict, and she's gone from behind bars to being one of the, I guess, bravest feminists out there. She's standing up for some of the most disenfranchised women, that would be female prisoners, who now have to endure, thanks to Justin Trudeau, men going, it's just saying, I identify as a female, no surgery, no hormones, nothing. You can really have 350-pound bearded Bubba saying I'm a chick, and so be it. Heather, what is the latest on this ongoing farce? It's more than a farce, because it's dangerous to real women behind bars, is it not?
It is dangerous, and I'm sure you read about the recent Luca Minotta, who is identifying as a woman and going by Violet, and how they transferred him to medium security so that he's able to live out his fantasy of being a woman. What's next? Going to the women's prison so that he can watch us and start acting more like a woman? Like,
well, I'm surprised he's not in the Kitchener facility already. He said he's a woman, so why not? I mean, you know, and that's another topic too, the soft on crime this Liberal government is for the worst of the worst. Luca Magnotta, Russell Williams, Paul Bernardo, they're in medium security facilities. They play tennis, play hockey. It's outrageous. But, you know, you are, all through COVID, we were told, follow the science. But where is the science here? There are males and there are females, and you can say you identify as blank, but I'm looking at your shirt. It's the definition of woman, adult, human, female. And yet, Heather, we had the most recent appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, a female herself, that was unable to define the word woman. This is madness.
It is madness. And, you know, I find that it's most common with women. They don't want to stand up and speak out, and they go along with whatever they're told to go along with. And it's like, it outrages me so much that we're literally fighting other women to not have our spaces taken from us, to not have our safety and dignity compromised. It is frustrating.
Heather, I couldn't agree more. And I base that on example. My cameraman Nefra and I went out to Fergus, Ontario last summer. Ash Davis, he's the male, pertained to be a female. When we went to Scrummum, what shocked me was that his female teammates got hysterical. These are young 20-something women, and they were screaming, trans women are real women. Some of them were crying just for the audacity of asking questions. And yet he's clobbering real women on the pitch. We went to Windsor to a woman's shelter where Cody Detremont started to identify as Desiree Anderson, got into the shelter, was then subsequently charged by Windsor police for sexual assault. Golly, who saw that coming? Cody slash Desiree is now identifying as a cat. I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. And again, when we went to that shelter, two 20-something employees came out to my camera woman and I and started, you know, chanting trans women are real women. And yet I would say, if you believe that rubbish slogan, this isn't diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is misogyny.
It is. And it's also exclusion, not inclusion, because if you don't go along with their mantras and what they believe, they exclude you. And I found this out in 2019 at the Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies. When I went to their conference, they were passing an inclusion policy. And us women, like formerly incarcerated women who were not in agreement with this policy, we were excluded. And we no longer were able to speak for them on panels about strip searching and other things. And like I said before to you, my friend got up there and said she was groomed and harassed by a serial pedophile. And they said, you don't need a vagina to be a woman. And they're concerned about the transphobia in the room. And it was that conference and those women that made me stand up and start advocating for women in prison.
And this is the Elizabeth Fry Association, that, you know, the people that should be standing up for female convicts and ex-convicts. That's astonishing. What are we dealing with here, Heather? Is it indoctrination through the education system, which seems to be beginning at the elementary school level these days?
So it's that, yes. But also it's, so in order to get funding, then you need to be able to tick off all the requirements to obtain that funding. So if public safety or whoever passes policy saying that you need to be inclusive and that trans women are women, in order for you to get that funding, you need to go along with what they say. And that's where our main problem is with our institutions.
Absolutely astonishing. It's the almighty buck. They say in our business, always follow the money. So in order to receive the funding, they'll put their principles on the back burner. They'll put science on the back burner, i.e. biology, just to get that stipend from the government. I think that's despicable, Heather.
It is. You really realize that everything in life is about money. And it's sad because then we are harming women, we're harming children, we're harming the most vulnerable women in society, which are in prison, all because you want to line your pockets.
And you know, I think the first time I met you, it was at that Kitchener female penitentiary, and a couple of the guards came out and they were more concerned that we were on the grassy berm. I mean, we weren't trespassing. We weren't going to try to break into a prison, for goodness sake. And they even called the cops, and a police officer came along. And I don't know if you recall this. I said to the, I think it was a sergeant, if you arrest me and convict me, I just want to say that I identify as a woman. I want to be incarcerated there. And he said, well, I think he said words to the effect of, well, that's the thing, you can identify whatever you want. And I think that's the problem. Heather, one last question. We know what the problem is. What can we do in the future, at least when it comes to female prisons, in reversing this ludicrous stipulation that a man merely has to say, I'm a woman, and you are in with the real woman?
So step one is changing the public's opinion. Well, really, it's about educating them, because a lot of people are unaware of what is going on, and our government officials don't care until the public is outraged, and then they push for them to make changes. So like Pierre started talking about these like things recently, and he did try to backpedal and pass the ball to like provincial and municipal, but prisons are federal, so yes, we need to push Pierre to deal with federal prison, domino effect, and then we can start fixing everything else too.
I think it's a winning policy prank. And one last thing, to show you how ludicrous this policy is, if, say, God forbid, you were arrested and convicted again, and you got a sentence of a couple of years, if you said, I identify as a man, I want to do my time at Millhaven, request denied, right?
Yes, because of overriding health and safety concerns, because I'd be raped in a men's prison.
So all this bullcrap of you are what you identify as, it goes out the window once the rubber of reality hits the road. The idea that prison guards would be on a 24/7 duty preventing a real woman from getting gang raped. That just shows you, I think, Heather, the utter hypocrisy of this.
Yes, it does show it.
Well, keep fighting, Heather.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Then there was Eva Kurlova. She's a Calgary-based writer and is openly lesbian. Eva explores the impacts of gender ideology on women, children, and society as a whole for publications such as Gender Dissent, The Distance, and Redux. Well, folks, I'm with Eva Kurlova. She is a writer from Calgary, and you explore the impacts of gender ideology on women, children, and society as a whole for several diverse publications. Eva, what exactly does that mean, the impact of gender ideology?
It means that I explore the way that gender ideology harms women and children. Mm-hmm. So through policy, just through culture, the ways that women lose our single-sex spaces, the way that kids are taught nonsense in schools. I do a lot of research into prisons, for example, things like that.
And you're open by the fact that you are lesbian, correct? And I want to bring that point up, Eva, just for one reason. There are some organizations in that community, Gays Against Groomers, LGB without the T, meaning, you know, lesbians, gays, and bisexuals, who don't want anything to do with the trans agenda. And I think these are the smart members of the community, because they realize that a young person who might grow up to be a gay man, a young person that might grow up to be a lesbian, right now there's this almost like a fetish to say, oh, that's a boy trapped in a girl's body, a girl trapped in a boy's body, and they go through a transition that is unnecessary and later on regrettable. What are your thoughts on that?
That hits really close to me because as I've written and spoken a lot, I feel that if I was a kid today,
yes,
because I was a tomboy, I just feel like I would be the perfect candidate for that kind of thing, to be identified as a boy and transitioned. Because I know that if I had been told I could be a boy or I should be a boy, I would have like hung on to that idea and like not let go. And it particularly hits home to me because a lot of the steps that they put children on, puberty blockers, hormone surgeries, it makes them infertile. And I actually would really like to start a family and have a baby. And that's something I've been pursuing. And so to me, I always think of like, they would have taken that away from me. Of course, it's not the only issue, but that's what they're doing to young girls like me, taking that future away from them.
100%. And I don't understand this compulsion to target minors for this. Why can't we wait until that person is the age of majority in terms of gender reassignment?
Exactly. I think that's why I'm so happy with what my premier, Danielle Smith, has done.
Yes.
She has put in policies, not yet, they're coming, to only allow surgeries after the age of 18 and puberty blockers and hormones after 16. And I agree, like, why can't we just wait? They can make that choice when they're mature, when they can understand the implications of it, and it's better off that way.
100%. I remember when my kids were in elementary school, I had to fill out about 8 forms for a field trip to the museum. And now they can do a pronoun differentiation without parents ever knowing. It's madness. Last question, Eva. You're very outspoken about this, of course. Why aren't there more members of your community, more lesbians, gays, bisexuals, that are saying, you know what, we're not signed up for the radical trans agenda. In fact, it's anti-gay, anti-lesbian. Are they afraid themselves of cancel culture, of being labeled transphobes?
Yes. I mean, I think, unfortunately, there are a good deal of members of my community who are captured by this radical ideology. But there are a lot that aren't, and they are mostly just scared. And I think they just need to see other people like me, like other gay people, standing up and just saying something about it. Because I know plenty of people who don't agree at all. They are just scared of the mob and of being canceled.
Incredible. Eva, where can our viewers read your articles?
I have my own Substack. It's evakurilova.com, and that's just where I link to everything I do. So
fantastic. Yeah. Eva, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Nice to see you again. Okay. Thank you so much.
Also in attendance was Megan Murphy. Murphy is a journalist, writer, podcaster, and longtime women's rights advocate. She founded Feminist Current in 2012, which became the first Canadian feminist website and podcast to mount a challenge against gender identity ideology. She testified at the Canadian Senate against Bill C-16, Canada's gender identity legislation. That was back in 2017. Murphy has since toured the world, warning about the harms of gender identity indoctrination. And by doing so, folks, she has been targeted by those cranks ranging from those in the radical transgender movement to Antifa. They call her a TERF, a derogatory term that means trans-exclusionary radical feminist. They harass Murphy. They try to shut down her events. But Murphy is a lioness who does not bend the knee when confronted by the unhinged woke mob.
So Megan, that was just absolutely hellacious. I can tell you, with the amount of trans activists, Antifa, anarchists, all unhinged, all super angry. You mentioned off camera, even the police were afraid that day. I mean, if the police weren't there, I think they really would have taken me to the woodshed, some of those activists. But here we are. You are a feminist, but they use a derogatory term to describe you, a TERF, a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. First of all, what in blue blazes does that really mean?
Well, apparently it means someone who knows the difference between a man and a woman. Like, it's a very funny term because that term TERF is used to describe essentially anyone who challenges gender identity ideology, anyone who challenges the idea that a man can become a woman and vice versa. I mean, it's revealing because I think that the women who first started pushing back against this were these radical feminists. And I think a lot of people thought they were being being a bit crazy. Like, you know, why do you care what these guys do? Leave them alone. But lo and behold, now here we are in Crazy Town.
It is astonishing. I would consider you to be a classical feminist. And by that, I mean, back in the day, if there were men trying to get into women's sports and women's shelters and women's prisons, feminists would be leading the outcry. But modern day feminists, Megan, they're either sitting this one out. Maybe you can educate me. Is it a matter of that going up against so-called trans women, that's too much of a third rail issue? Or do they believe that trans women are real women?
I don't think that they believe that so-called trans women, so men who are identifying as women, are actually women. I think they're cowards. And I think that they care about their careers. I think that, you know, in Canada, I think pretty much every single so-called feminist institution, all of these organizations that are meant to protect and support vulnerable women, for example, you know, women who are helping women leaving situations of domestic violence, women in poverty who are need shelter, they've all lied, essentially. They all go along with this trans women are women lie and thrown women and girls across Canada under the bus. And I think it's disgusting, but it's all about funding, right? It's like they're trying to keep their jobs. They're trying to keep their little institution going and they won't stand up. And I don't really care why. It's the truth. And what they're doing and saying is causing harm. But it's pathetic.
You know, in this business, Megan, they always say, follow the money. And I never thought about the financial aspect. I think that's an excellent point. But in the meantime, they have sacrificed their cause for their existence. I mean, I remember the Boston Marathon. I don't think it was until the mid-60s that women were allowed to run in the marathon. Sometimes you'd have a woman jump the fence and start to run and the cops would gang tackle her. Now, all marathons have a women's division, and yet women's sports are under attack, and these modern day feminists are just shrugging their shoulders. I think it's appalling.
I was a feminist for my entire life. You know, I can't even recall not being a feminist. And in the past few years, I've stopped identifying as a feminist. And it's not because I don't support women's rights anymore. I certainly do. I fight for women's rights in Canada still, just as I always have. But I feel like, what does feminism mean if these women, first of all, can't even define what a woman is, but won't stand up for the most vulnerable women, women in prison, for example. The most vulnerable women in Canada, I would argue, are women in prison. You know, they don't have rights. They're coming from places of trauma, often addiction, mental health issues, poverty. Indigenous women are overrepresented in Canadian prisons, and they fully abandon these women to the most dangerous male criminals in the country. And won't, you know, the government won't talk about it. The media won't talk about it. Thank God Heather's talking about it. Heather Mason is one of the only women who's been banging the drum about this issue. And I think some people are finally starting to listen. But it's, yeah, it's abhorrent. I don't know how these women can call themselves feminists.
Well, I'll challenge you on one point. The government is talking about it in terms of the Justin Trudeau Liberals are responsible for males just saying, I identify as a female, and bang, you're in the Kitchener Penitentiary for women. This from our fake feminist prime minister. But it's all being done, Megan, in the scope of diversity, equity, and inclusion. But I would say if you're putting men into a female prison or a female shelter and into female sports, that's not diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is garden variety misogyny.
I totally agree. And I would also say that it's actually exclusion. Because in particular, when we're talking about girls' sports and women's sports, they're now being excluded from their own sports. Yes. Because men are competing instead. And men are inherently mostly going to be better athletically than women are. They're stronger, they're faster, their bodies are different. This is no insult to female athletes who are incredible, but girls are losing out to opportunities, to scholarships, to championships, because these men, I mean, you covered that volleyball tournament where there was like, what, five men?
It was Seneca College and Centennial College, and five of the 12 starters, there was three for Seneca, two for Centennial, We're biological men. I mean, I went to see a female varsity volleyball game. Instead, we saw a sausage fest, for goodness sakes. And I can see a day, Megan, in which, you know, in our lifetime, there will be the male varsity team, and then there will be the male B varsity team. These will be all the loser males that can't crack the male A team. And that male B team was that team that once upon a time used to be called the female team.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I wanted to speak to your point about misogyny, because I think any man who would do this is the poorest excuse for a male on the planet. You know, he knows he's cheating. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that there's some girl who's going to be sitting on the sidelines, who's going to miss out on a scholarship so that he can get it instead. He knows he's mediocre because, as you said, you know, he didn't make the boys' team or the men's team. You know, these men don't care at all about women and girls and what they're doing to women and girls. I think it's totally shameful.
I agree. I think they might be mentally ill, but more to the point, Megan, who do you have more contempt for? That gender-bending loser male pretending to be a female so he can play varsity sports, or those in authority, Volleyball Canada, Volleyball Ontario, the deans of these colleges, the Ontario Athletic Association, the Human Rights Commissions and Tribunals, who all collectively say, this is a good thing. We stand by these trans women, which are really men pretending to be women. So again, who do you have more contempt for? The individual athletes gaming the system or those allowing them to game the system?
That's a really tough question, but, you know, these are the people in power who have the power and have the responsibility to say no, to protect these sports, to protect the girls playing these sports. You know, these are the people in charge. These are the people who are making these decisions. I mean, men identifying as women, that's been going on for at least a few decades now, but it's only recently that it's become such a big problem, and that's because the policies have changed, the legislation has changed. It's because these institutions and because these people in power have gone along with it and supported it, so they are responsible. You know, we could have said, okay, you wear a dress, whatever, do your thing. We never had to go so far as to change the laws and the policies and to start letting men compete as women in female sports, and letting men into women's prisons, letting men into girls' change rooms, for goodness sakes. I mean, somebody should have said no a long time ago, and they kept saying yes, and they're still saying yes. So it is their responsibility, and they are the ones who are accountable.
I totally agree, Megan. I mean, if you want to wear a dress, pretend you're a member of the other gender, and you're just living your life in suburbia, not affecting anyone, hey, listen, I love Halloween. I just don't celebrate it 365 days a year. But if that's what you're into, fine. But the moment you start taking away spots, like you said, taking away scholarships, sexually abusing women in a shelter or prison facility, that is completely offside. Last question, Megan. You have so many inexplicable haters out there. They're trying to cancel you. They're trying to intimidate you. You're not bending the knee. You're one of the bravest women I know. What is it that motivates you not to bend the knee, not to surrender to all these terrible haters out there?
You know, when I started speaking out about this, which was, you know, almost 10 years ago, it wasn't because this issue affected me personally. A lot of these haters will say, you know, how does this affect you? What does this have to do with you? And I'm like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with all women and girls in Canada, all women and girls everywhere. It has to do with free speech. It has to do with our constitutional rights that we're losing, our right to freedom of expression, our right to say that men aren't women, which, you know, Justin Trudeau is trying to criminalize. So, you know, it's about telling the truth, and it's about my integrity as a person. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna call a man she. I refuse to lie. This is about, it's about my personal integrity and my accountability. But, you know, if you see something wrong happening, you stand up and you say no.
Megan, look on the bright side. So far, so good. I don't see the lunatic fringe picketing outside, unlike October 2019. That's a victory. have a great speech tonight here at this event.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay. Thank you, Megan.
Thanks. It's so good. Great to meet you.
And speaking of lionesses, last but not least, we interviewed April Hutchinson, another real woman facing the cancel culture mob for wrong thought vis-a-vis the radical transgender movement. This ranges from her own sporting regulator, the Canadian Powerlifting Union, that has suspended April for 1 year, all the way to Museum London for canceling her exhibit based on trumped up charges of transphobia. Hutchinson is one of the few outspoken Canadian athletes advocating for women's safety and fair competition, and she has received media attention the world over. She is so brave. Indeed, folks, you know, there's a fictional DC comic book character called Power Girl. I would argue that powerlifter April Hutchinson is a real-life version of Power Girl, fighting back against a woke, pathetic legion of supervillains.
Well, folks, I'm with powerlifter April Hutchinson. You likely know April's story. She spoke out against gender-bending male grifters invading the world of powerlifting. Can you imagine that? I mean, and we've talked about this before, April, the idea that you received a 2-year suspension for speaking the truth, reduced to 1 year. But April, it's preposterous. With the exception of equestrian and auto racing, men and women have always been separated into separate categories for obvious reasons, biology. What the hell is going on in the world of Canadian powerlifting?
Well, exactly. I mean, you take the male grifter, as we call him, the male cheat, actually, Anne, in my federation, is ranked number one right now, currently in the world.
Shockers.
Yeah, big shocker. He also holds 3 out of the 5 records in Alberta, of all places. So, I mean, and he hasn't been training for, that long. He's breaking records that people that have been training for 10 years haven't even been able to break, so...
You know, I remember in the 90s, one of the best sitcoms of all time, Seinfeld, and there was an episode which was purely done for laughs. Kramer going into a karate class with little kids and, winning the championship by literally body slamming them to the floor. What was preposterous and funny and parody in the 1990s has come true today. What happened?
Well, no, exactly. I mean, you have these, what do you call, captured organizations and federations. I mean, in my case, I was dealing with a biased board member, right, where they had either a trans child or a trans member of their family and basically had their personal agenda and made me an example and basically said, you know, women, if you speak up, you're going to get banned, just like April Hutchinson did. So,
April, is there something about Canadian and provincial sports federations that they don't play ball when it comes to the international regulator? I can tell you, going back to 2020, to its credit, World Rugby put a rule in, if you are a man, you cannot play with females. And yet here we have Ash Davis, with the blessing of Rugby Ontario and Rugby Canada, playing against other females. World Aquatics introduced an other category for transgender swimmers at the World Championships in Berlin last October. Not a single swimmer showed up. What does that tell you? And yet, Swimming Canada and Swim Ontario, they have no problem with a 50-year-old swimming with girls as young as 13. And here we are. So can you educate us about the powerlifting world when it comes to the international regulator? Are we offside in terms of the regulator's rule?
Yeah, we are totally offside. I mean, if I didn't speak up about this male powerlifter, the policy would never have changed. So when Anne started basically powerlifting, I went to the international governing body, the International Powerlifting Federation, and told them about this male. And they said, no, this should not be happening. So they actually implemented and told my federation, the Canadian Powerlifting Union, that they have to do testosterone monitoring and that any trans athlete has to submit psychological records and medical records. Yeah. And here's the clincher, David. This is where these transgenders are not getting through because they are not providing these medical records. You need, like I said on Megyn Kelly yesterday, you need a diagnosis by a doctor basically stating that you are have gender dysphoria. Because otherwise, any male, like you can walk in tomorrow and crush records and then go back to identifying as whatever you want the next day. So,
but you know, April, I think there's an easier solution, and it's all about inclusion. If you're a man pretending to be a woman or vice versa, and you want to lift weights, play rugby, go swimming, you name it, we're creating another category. I know Coach Linda Blade, who will be speaking via Skype tonight on that matter. And therefore, you get to play, nobody's stopping you, but you are not invading and destroying female sports.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been working with Danielle Smith in Alberta. I've been talking to her LGBT plus advisor. They're actually asking athletes in Alberta and myself for this legislation going forward, what they're going to do to protect female athletes. And this is all that we've ever asked for, was a separate category. And so what they're going to do come October is create a co-ed league. So that means even the women that are in my federation that support these men, they can go into this co-ed league, go lift with the men. Or if Anne, for example, wants to lift, he can go lift with his biological sex, male. Yeah. So
I think that is the solution. But in the here and now, your female colleagues in powerlifting, are they just, you know, grinning and bearing it because they're afraid of cancel culture? Or are they just so indoctrinated they believe rubbish like trans women are real women?
Well, I mean, there's a whole different kind of different levels to that, right? You have our government, you have Trudeau, that are basically brainwashing people to believe that trans women are women, right? Remember, he tweeted that last International Women's Day that trans women were women, which is complete garbage. We know that's false. But then you have women, I've talked to you about these women that are like, you know, the land of misfits that never belong to a group, that they just want a virtue signal, or they just want to be like, you know, I'm just going to help this mentally ill narcissistic man. I'm just going to let him come in and lift with us, yes. Like catering to a man's mental illness. And literally you're helping to erase. So any woman out there that supports this, you are literally helping erase women's sports. Thank you very much.
That's what it boils down to me. I think there is a huge degree of mental illness in the trans community. I'm sorry. I know that might be considered as hate speech by some people. But here's the question, April. Who do you have more contempt for? Is it the Ann Anders of the world, a man pretending to be a woman, or your powerlifting federation that is aiding and enabling him to do so while penalizing you, a real woman?
You know, I of course, I don't have any respect for Ann, just for the mere fact that he's actually threatened me and Danielle Smith and has made fun of women. So,
by the way, where's his suspension then?
Exactly. Yeah. He actually made fun of women last March and basically threatened myself and Danielle. He's allowed to compete. That's okay, right, in the books. But I get suspended for speaking biological facts. But, I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's completely biased. And, yeah, so.
It is incredible, the identity politics in which we deal with. And, you know, April, I'm reading your wonderful T-shirt, Keep Female Sports Female XX. That's 2X chromosomes. And that tells you everything you need to know, because you can get surgery, you can take some, you know, hormones, but at the end of the day, you can't change your chromosomes. And, you know, this T-shirt in the region of Waterloo, as of January the 1st, if somebody saw you on region of Waterloo property wearing that, they could file a complaint and you could be charged by bylaw for, oh, I don't know, offending the likes of Ann Anders. What do you make of that?
I think it's, I say, bring it on, baby, bring it on. Because I'm not fearful of that at all. I mean, I've done many interviews, and I mean, I'm literally just speaking biological facts, right? I've never incited hate. Some people have actually said, I've watched all your interviews, April, even with you. You're always respectful, right? Again, I've said, I have no ill will towards transgenders. I think everyone has the right to compete, but in your biological sex. And you can't take away the fairness from women, right? So, yeah.
Well, you are on the right side of history, and yet you're getting penalized. I think that's why so many of our viewers are absolutely, you know, out of control, furious about what's going on regarding your case. I want to talk to you about, you've had meetings with Premier Smith. She's taken some real leadership positions on this transanity, as I call it. Where are those discussions leading?
Yeah, so, I mean, I just talked to her advisor 2 days ago, and they are actually getting opinions and basically our input from all the different athletes, like myself, other athletes from Alberta, right? So it looks like going forward, all I can touch on right now is obviously the sports part, not so much the gender-affirming care, but they will be solidifying it this coming October, and they will be creating a co-ed league, which is wonderful. And if Anne or any, I will call them biological male, AKA male cheats, if they want to compete, they have to compete in their biological sex.
Incredible. And but you know what? That's Alberta. You live in Ontario. What do you make of Premier Doug Ford on this file? What do you make of the Minister of Sport, Neil Lumsden, who is a CFL Hall of Famer? He understands the mechanics of physical sports. They're nowhere to be seen on this file.
Yeah, I mean, I've expressed my disappointment in Doug Ford. I met him back last October, and he shook my hand. He saw my T-shirt, and he's like, I totally agree with you, April. I have three daughters who are all in sports, too. And he's like, I agree with you. And then I did write him a letter a couple months ago. It got passed on to Neil Lumsden, and I got zero response. And to me, I think Doug Ford is a coward. He has been asked about this topic, and he's just been quiet about it, so...
So he agrees with you. He has said he agrees with you, but I guess his gatekeepers, whoever they may be, won't let him do anything. You know, April, we wish you all the best. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of the most amusing anecdotes you've told me. I don't know anything about powerlifting, but you say you keep getting approached typically by little men, and they ask you to basically bench press them over your head. Have you had any run-ins with little men here tonight so far?
No, maybe just your camera guy here.
Oh, you think you can bench press Efren?
Wow. No, but I lifted a couple of the ladies here in this room. But no, I have a day job that I'm really happy with. I don't need the extra money.
Wow. If you can, bench press Efren, as that character in RoboCop used to say, I'd buy that for a dollar. Let me tell you, April, good luck. You are a happy warrior. You're on the right side of history. I think you're going to win in the end. It's a matter of time. And once again, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Well, thank you, David. You're my favorite. And you guys at Rebel News have done so much for me. And just I love you guys. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Great.
Well, there you have it, folks. While the fake feminists were marching in the International Women's Day Parade and probably screaming like unhinged harpies regarding radical transgenderism and supporting the Hamas hooligans, the real women were in the northwest part of the city taking part in an exhilarating discussion at last Friday's conference. They were doing something very dicey today. They were speaking the truth, regardless of political correctness. And I ask you, folks, which group of women would you prefer to be associated with?